I want to welcome everybody to Fit as a Fiddle Plus. When we talk about being fit as a fiddle, we talk about being fit not only physically, but also emotionally, spiritually, and financially, and mentally. It's the whole person. It's the whole being when we're talking about being fit as a fiddle. And that's why we call it Fit as a Fiddle Plus, because it's when you think about being fit, oftentimes we just think about it being physical exercise, like, oh, this must be somebody that exercises a lot. And it's more than that. It's the whole person. And one of the biggest components of stress for today's consumers is financial stress. A lot of folks, you know, they have anxiety, and next thing you know, they're having physical problems, they're having relationship issues. There's so much that's tied to our finances. And nowadays, our finances have transitioned to the fact that we're now mostly online. We do our banking online. We take care of even connecting with family members online. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have, you know, FaceTime on our phones. Everything is so electronic that I wanted to talk about that. And before we jump in, I do want to say that Rita is not going to be with us this evening because she works in the medical profession and she still has another surgery yet to do tonight. She said her day got kind of backed up with surgeries. And so she still has one more to do. So she apologizes she's not here. And then we had Leela Khan was supposed to be our guest. We'd already announced that. And Leela called this morning and is ill today, and wanted to know if we could give her a rain check for another date. So Linda Thomas is with us. And so I was just telling Linda that I feel like I've been living in an alternate reality today because everything seems to have changed. But you know what? Somebody out there needs to hear this message. So it's the perfect time. It's perfect timing. Because when something like this happens, you can stress about it. And again, there goes your health. Or you can just roll with it and say, you know what, someone out there needs this message. So that's what we want to do tonight, is actually talk about all of the electronic life that we're all living. And when you talk to our kids, you know, the 10-year-olds, that's just a part of their everyday existence. They don't even know of a life without all of the technology. And my 10-year-old grandson, he entertained himself all summer. Leading up to school starting, he entertained himself all summer playing with an electronic fitness game in the living room. You know, I mean, he can play tennis with himself. He can play baseball with himself by doing it electronically. And it doesn't even occur to him that other, it doesn't occur to him that somebody old like me doesn't even know how to do that. Because that's his whole world right now. And he loves it. And so we need to embrace it. It's not going to go away. We're going to even see more of it. And so with that, I want to introduce Linda. She is a writer. She's also a speaker. And she is a coach with a wide-ranging life and business experience. Now, it all comes together for her beautifully because she helps people live lives of greater effectiveness, meaning, and abundance. Now, Linda, and I've known her for a while now, she is the founder of the Legacy of Love Project. And we're going to talk about that for a moment tonight, too. It's a course that enables its members to forever change their lives and the legacies that they leave for the ones they love. And one of the biggest legacies is all of your digital assets. So with that, I just want to talk a little bit more about holistic health. It's about taking care of all the parts that make us who we are. It's like having a toolkit to keep us feeling our best. Our thoughts, our feelings, spirit, and even how we handle money are like pieces of a puzzle that fit together. Just like a team of musicians playing together to make music, our well-being works best when everything is in harmony. So taking care of our money, which is called financial health, is like keeping our instruments in tune. When we manage our money well, we worry less and we enjoy life more. I know I do. Holistic health also reminds us to think about what we'll leave behind and how we'll be remembered when we're no longer here. It's like writing the ending of a story. This includes making sure that our digital things, like photos, how many photos? Oh, hundreds and thousands of photos, emails, social media, are taken care of so that they can be a part of our legacy as well. So it's like leaving a treasure for our loved ones, not a burden. So by taking care of our whole selves, including our money, and all of that digital assets that we leave behind, we can live meaningful lives and make a lasting impact even after we're gone. So, Linda, before we get started, give me just a little bit of your background. How in the world did you decide to start this Legacy of Love project to begin with? Because I'm going to tie it all together. So how did you get here?
Oh, a long and winding road. So many years in business. So you pick up the skills of working with people, organization, some bookkeeping, some financial pieces, and all of that. And was in business with my late husband until he passed. And so that's an important part of the journey, the difficulties that we went through together with his health and his passing. And then for a while, I punched a time clock for other people, did not like that, and began branching out into speaking and coaching on my own, and working with one particular client who was older. I already had a mindset about end of life and planning for a transition of the body and of affairs. And so as I worked with her, I could envision the difficulty that her family would encounter because her digital affairs and her business affairs were in disarray, let's say. And as all of these things came together in my mind and my heart, I just began creating this course. And it was like, oh, people will need this. People need that. People don't know this. I need to include that. And it just kept coming. And then as we'll talk about tonight, there is the aspect of the legal protections or lack thereof that most people know nothing of. And so all of this kept getting woven into the course, and that became the Legacy of Love Project.
Wow, that's amazing, because it's all the information that we need that we don't know we need.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know we need it until it's too late and we've lost a loved one. And I don't know about some of our listeners, but when we lost Mark's dad, he had published a book. And we cannot even locate who his publisher and how to even get that digital asset, because he had self-published. And so we're still working on trying to figure that out. And he's been passed for several years now. And then again, he had a great Facebook page, lots of amazing memories, and did not leave us a password. So we cannot get into his Facebook page to even turn it into a memorial for him. And, you know, 97 years, and he was a professor at a university, and so many lives that he touched over his 97 years. And it's like there's no footprint of him that we can keep going. And we would love to keep that going. So I get it. And again, you don't know that you need it until it's too late.
Yeah.
And so explain to us what exactly are digital assets, because some of our listeners may not understand everything that's included in a digital asset.
Yeah, I mean, in a word, it's the things that are stored online digitally. But I mean, our lives are so wrapped up with the online world now. It can be your email accounts, it can be your photos that are stored, it can be if you have a Microsoft Word account, and you elect to store those documents in the cloud. It can be if you have Dropbox or Evernote, if you have Apple iCloud. I mean,
I
so
have
many.
I have all of those.
Right. And then what if you are in business or are a digital creator? Now you have domain names to keep track of. You have web hosting, blog hosting. Who knows what all the amazing things are, and a YouTube account, or maybe a Vimeo or some other video storage account. You are accumulating so many hard-earned assets that you've created with your intellectual work and effort, blood, sweat, and tears. And heaven forbid that access would be lost.
I get it. Now, would you say that people these days are living dangerously when it comes to the care and protection of that digital property?
I think they are, because they have no idea how precarious this all is. I mean, they get hit by a bus, as the saying goes. And worst case, they're completely removed from this earth. Best case, they're in a hospital. But either way, they are no longer able to handle their affairs. Will anyone be able to handle those for them? Will anyone have access? I mean, many people, a large proportion of people, do not have a will in place. And we can have a discussion a little bit later about a power of attorney and mm-hmm. why that's important. But I mean, we're just walking around pretty much blindfolded.
Now, what does the law have to say about the digital property? What happens if we don't do this preparation?
Well, there is a law that has gone into effect in almost all of the 50 states, and it's been coming in, I believe, Ohio, where you are. It came in about 2016. Where I am in Pennsylvania, it just took effect in 2021.
Okay.
But in one version or another, it has been coming in over the last several years. And this law is called RUFADA, and that's all the initials that make it up, and it stands for, I have to look because I always forget what it stands for, Revised Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act, RUFADAA. So okay. Much easier to just say the acronym, of course.
That's a mouthful.
in simple terms, all it is a law that acknowledges that our digital assets are as much property that belongs to us as the tangible objects that we leave behind. So we might leave behind a beautiful vase or a piece of real estate. Well, this law acknowledges that digital assets are a thing that can be left behind and that someone can be named to be in charge of it. But there is an order to which it is applied, and there are some twists and turns involved in that as well.
Well, does it say who can or can't gain access online to our accounts online? Is that part of the act? Does it say who is allowed?
Yeah. There's a hierarchy of the way it is applied. We can say who we name, but we can actually give conflicting instructions accidentally, in which case there is a pecking order, and sometimes the person that you thought was going to be the real person in charge isn't because of this pecking order.
Now, is it relevant before we pass or only after we pass?
RUFADA can apply both before and after, but the legal document that we use varies depending on whether we're still walking this earth or not. So your power of attorney is critical for anyone once they turn age 18. Okay. And a lot of families have found that out with college students. Like, they're in the dorm and some kind of illness sweeps the dorm, and the adult child is in the hospital in another state. Mom and dad can't swoop in and just be the boss of the healthcare because those kids are legal adults. So power of attorney becomes critical from then on. But in our power of attorney, we can name not just someone to handle our finances, but we can name someone to handle our digital affairs. So you may have someone who's really good with a sharp pencil organizing your finances, and you might name them for that. But you might have someone who's a lot more clever and on top of tech that you might name to handle your digital affairs.
Yeah, my 10-year-old. Yeah, he's much better at, I'm kidding.
Yeah, maybe not quite mature enough, but yeah, maybe if you have somebody that's 27 or 37, you know?
Right, yeah.
But yep. What happens is the moment you pass away, that particular legal document is 100% irrelevant. You can just throw that in the garbage can. So now the will is in charge of things.
Oh my. Okay, so when you think you have it all covered, you really don't.
No, and that's what I'm saying. People are walking around blindfolded. Oh. I actually have goosebumps right now because I just get so concerned about that.
Wow, that's like your house being built on sand. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, in the actual act, what is the hierarchy? Do you know kind of how it works?
Yeah. So the companies that care for and house and store your digital assets. That might be Google, that might be Apple, that might be Yahoo or Facebook. They are called custodians because they're caring for and protecting and securing your online assets. So they are the first line of defense in the Rufada hierarchy. And those four companies that I named have what they call an online tool where you can go, it's like their in-house legal, so to speak, where you can name who you're granting access to in the case of your death. Now, second after the online tools is legal documents, and that can be your will or your power of attorney. Now, what happens is sometimes you might learn that Google has the online tool and you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'll go in and do that. So you go in and say, this person has access to my Google email. This, and maybe it's across the board or maybe it's selected people. And you say, oh, this person can access my YouTube account or whatever. Then, you know, you sit down with your attorney some other time, create your will. Well, if those two things don't match accidentally, because you didn't realize how vital that was, the online tool takes precedence over your will, which is the second tier.
I would have just made the assumption that it was the other way.
People do think that, and it's not the case.
Good to know.
Nobody said the law had to make sense, you know.
I want to welcome Mason to the call. Mason, thank you for jumping in and joining us today. Now, Mason is a digital creator. He is actually writing some books and doing some self-publishing. And so, yeah, this is great information that we all need. And of course, I'm creating courses in an online academy. So, yeah, this is huge. Now,
I have one other thing that's really critical in this hierarchy, and this is like the gut punch of all. So if you don't have the online tool filled out, and if there's one available, and you don't have a will or a power of attorney, guess what takes effect as kind of a default?
Well, I know if you don't have a will or an attorney with the rest of your assets, the state takes effect. What happens with your digital?
Terms of service. That's the fine print that everybody clicks through and says, yeah, I read that. I just want to use the app. We don't even know what's in the terms of service because we don't read it. And that's what's going to govern the access of our IP online, intellectual property.
I have to admit, I haven't read all of those terms of service either. What's the common terms of service? What does it say? Who is in charge of your digital asset? And I know they're probably different, but give us an example.
If have you ever signed a contract with any company and they wrote the contract, it's all in their favor. They have all the power, and that's the way the terms of service is, pretty much.
Okay. So basically they're absorbing your content.
I don't know if they absorb it, but it's going to be that nobody else really has access because their contract is with you, not with your adult child, not with your spouse.
So if you don't have a power of attorney in place, you haven't made any decision within the app on who's going to follow in your footsteps, and you don't have a will or an attorney that you're relying on, a lot of that content could just simply disappear, not be accessible to anyone.
Right. And then basically, if you or your family wants to fight it out, now they need to get a court order. So now you're adding cost and time, delays, and hassle. Okay.
Wow. This is huge, Linda.
Yeah.
Now let's go to a same topic, but a little bit of a different question. What about all those passwords? Because, you know, I started off early on, and I don't know about the listeners today, but I started off early on thinking, you know what, I'm just going to use the same password for all my apps, because that way I don't have to remember all these different passwords. And that worked for like the first week. And then, of course, I wanted to download an app that said, oh, you have to have a special character. You can't just have a word. You have to have a special character. All right, so I changed all my passwords to include the word and a special character. And then, of course, you know, I signed on to an app and it said, oh no, you have to have some capital letters and a word and a special character. Okay, so you go back and you change all the passwords. Oh no, now you have to have a capital letter, a word, a number, and a special character. And so then I'm like, okay, I'm still there. I'm still use I can just make all of them the capital letter, the word, the number, the special character, and then comes to my banking. Oh no, you have to change your password every 3 months and you can't use a previous password. Oh, what am I gonna now? I gotta come up with a second password. Next thing you know, none of your passwords match. You're 10 years into this thing. You've got passwords flying all over the place. Some have capital, some don't. Some have a special character. Most of them have a number, but some still do not. How in the world do you take care of all those passwords?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's talk about, I'll call it password hygiene. So, I mean, here's two of the really bad ones that too many people do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or the word password. Now that we've gone to the special characters, we've kind of gotten away from that. That was the standby for many years with people. You definitely want them to be unique because if the bad guys figure out that, you know, your Facebook account password, and it's the same as your bank and your Gmail account and whatever, and your YouTube account, they can get into everything. So we definitely want to have some variety and not be using the same one over and over again. Another thing is you don't want to use words that are like right out of the dictionary, like, I don't know, Sierra. I'm just making up a word. I mean, that's a word in the dictionary. So if the bad guys have a tool that can click through and figure out letters, it's going to recognize words in the dictionary quickly and solve your password way more quickly. So you want it to be random. So I have a little tip that can sometimes be helpful. And there are like randomizer tools that'll make up a password. And those get really bizarre because they're like 16 or 20 characters long with crazy, very random combinations that you'll never remember in a million years. But to make a password that you can remember, this is a kind of a user-friendly one. Make up a sentence that you can remember, and then use the first letter from each word in that sentence. And then you can get at least one capital letter in there. You'll have upper and lower. You can change one of the letters into a number, or maybe the sentence has a number, so you can put a number in there, and you can substitute a special character, you know, or throw in an exclamation point, a dollar sign, a pound sign, or whatever. And you've got the combination of things, but it's in a format that you've got half a chance of remembering. So, for what it's worth.
That's a great tip. Yes, I like that. And because some of my passwords, you know, you and again, you sometimes you're working with an app and it'll say, you know, we want more digits. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to go back and change all my passwords again. So okay, I'll just come up with one for this one. Next thing you know, you've just got all these passwords, and there's no
Yeah.
way that you can commit all of those to memory.
So.
And then, especially not my memory. I'm at the age now where I can't remember why I walked into the room. So there's no way I'm going to remember all those passwords. And you don't necessarily want to have them in a place where somebody else can run across your list in a notebook in your drawer or even on your phone in an email. You got to be careful with that because if the email gets hacked, all of a sudden there's your list of all your passwords. So you do have to be careful. So how can we keep track of passwords, dozens or even hundreds, and that we're reusing all the time? And again, my hardware, my computer, with my programs, my software on them, will ask me if I want my computer to remember my password. And of course, if it's a computer that I have at home that I use all the time, I always say yes. But now, the more that we travel, I'm not sure that I want my computer to always remember all of those passwords. What happens if then I'm traveling? You know, just this last trip, Mark and I, we just flew to Florida and back this month. And while we were waiting for our plane to board, it came on over the intercom. You know, would Susie come back to security? She had left her laptop.
Wow.
And I'm like, ah, because you have to take all those electronics out of your suitcase and send them through separately. And you could get separated from your stuff very easily. And again, if anybody travels on the airlines these days, security, even though it's security, oh my gosh, it's so crazy right there. Everybody's trying to get through. Everybody's got electronics out. Their wallet is out. Their passport is out. Their shoes are off. Everything is going through at different stages. And then you're trying to, and then you're not watching as it goes through. You're coming through another area of security before you get matched up with your stuff. And you really don't know what's happening to all those electronics. So what's the answer to that, Linda?
Yeah.
That's a loaded question, I know.
Yeah, there's something I want to throw out too. Sometimes when your browser is saving the passwords, it's throwing it in a file just in the settings of your browser. But if you haven't set a password to protect that file, if somebody opens your computer and you don't have the computer password protected, they open your browser and they know to go to the little gear sign and look in that part where the passwords are, they can find every dang password that you have. So that is absolutely frightening. But I am a huge, huge fan and proponent of using a password manager. And it will store your password. It'll store like the address, the URL, a web address,
okay,
of the page that you went to. It'll store your username and your password. And if you go in at another time to that page, and let's say they've added a new requirement that you have to have two special characters, and you have to change it for some reason, the password manager would say, would you like to update our record? And you say, yes. Now, instead of having another post-it note beside your desk, and now you don't know which is the old password and which is the new one for that page, you're feeling this. I can see it. It's like tramping over the old one.
Can you see my desk from where you are? I'm just asking.
No, you have the pretty background going on. There's no evidence at all.
Because I have post-it notes all over my laptop right here. So that's why I'm laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh, she can see. I'm kidding.
Eagle eye.
But I do have post-it notes all over my computer. I'm just looking at my post-it notes now. I don't have any passwords written on them, but I have done that.
Yeah.
Where it's made me change a password and I just jot it on a post-it because I don't have time, you know.
Mm.
I don't think I have time. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So what is a password manager exactly?
It's a software program. You create an account and you want to have a really strong master password to log into it. But then once you're logged in, you can go about your daily business, opening and closing. You could be in and out of email, YouTube, banking, whatever. And when you go to that web page, it'll say, oh, I see. Let's say we're talking about Facebook, just to keep it really simple. You go to the Facebook page, your password manager recognizes that web address because you've stored it in there. And it says, oh, I have a password for that. Would you like to use it? And you just press the little button, it fills it in and you're in. And it has streamlined my daily life to the point that I couldn't get along without it. I truly couldn't. And just knowing that I haven't lost passwords to so many different types of digital assets that I have, it's wonderful.
Now, a couple of questions about the actual software. Can you load it on more than one device? Because I work on my laptop, I work on my tablet, and I work on my phone.
Yeah, each company, they have their own terms. It might say you can use it on all your devices with that one password for you, or it might say can load up on three devices or whatever. So you just look at it, and then you can get it for yourself and your family, For a business, there's like for yourself and a team. There's all different packages depending on what you need.
Okay.
And well, something else that's really cool, I'll just throw this out, because since we're talking about legacy, you can also, depending on the company that you use, the company I use, you can upload documents and store them securely in the cloud, like your passport, like your will, like a set of instructions for your executor, and they're housed securely and encrypted in the cloud.
Wow. Yes, making some notes on that. That's probably the next step for me. I need to do that. We're thinking about traveling, and we travel quite a bit, you know, within the States, but we're thinking about traveling internationally. Starting here in November, we're off to Italy, and I am going to be taking my tablet with me and my phone. And again, if something gets lost or misplaced or separated from me, even going through security, we're going to be going through customs and security. So our stuff's going to get separated from us. And it would be wonderful if, let's say, for example, you lose your passport when you're out of the country. Wouldn't it be great if you could go to any computer and all you have to do is sign into that program and a copy of your passport would be there? That is an amazing tool. So which one do you suggest, Linda? Do you have any suggestions on what would be a good software to do that?
The one I use and really trust is called 1Password. And it's the number one and the word password right up against it.
Okay. And in all transparency, do you have an affiliate link for 1Password?
I am actually in the process of getting one set up.
Okay. Good to know. I'll hold off. As long as you have it by November.
No worries.
I want to do this before I leave the country. I want to make sure I can upload my passport, Mark's mm-hmm. passport, our will. We also have a medical power of attorney.
Right.
Have a financial power of attorney. It would be wonderful to have all of that in the cloud digitally so that when we travel, we could access it if we have to. Uh-huh. I get that. Yes. Instead of carrying around that paper copy. Yeah.
And your meds list and contact of all your doctors and all those good things.
Yeah, that would be wonderful to have. I love that. We still have Mason in the audience. Mason, do you have any questions? He tapped in and I said hi to him and invited him to jump in if he had a question. There he is.
Actually, well, I came late. I'm sorry, I'm sitting in my backyard, so I'm just a mess right now. That's why I don't have my video on.
Oh, you're perfect.
no questions. I just realizing how woefully unprepared I am for any of this. I know my wife and I have talked about redoing our wills and things like that, but this just realized, okay, I have a whole lot to learn.
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the sad part is that we learn it the hard way after when it's too late. That's the sad part.
And that's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing, to try to help as many people and families as possible to not find it out the hard way, to have it all kind of sorted out in a simple, advanced fashion before the need, and instead of having that gut punch of, oh my goodness, we blew it and we didn't even know we were blowing it, you know?
Well, I appreciate talking about this. Now, we've talked quite a bit today because our whole topic was on digital assets and how to protect our digital assets. But tell us just a little bit in general about your Legacy of Love project. And that's the bigger project that goes around what we talked about today. Tell us a little bit about your Legacy of Love project, because, again, so many folks need this information.
Yeah, thank you for that. It is set up over a 12-week period of time, with the idea being that we want to break it down into really small, manageable chunks so that it isn't overwhelming for folks. And we address these digital assets and much, much more. So I love that, you know, we're highlighting this piece, which really captures people's attention. But we also go over things like gathering together all of the bank and insurance accounts and who the heck are your beneficiaries? Are you going to leave everything to your ex-husband that you divorced 25 years ago? Or, you know, have you even looked at any of these in years, you know? So we're gathering together all the information about all the things, and it's physical assets, it's passwords, it's any, and it's your desire for funeral, memorial, cremation, all of those things. And the details of your life so that your family isn't scratching to put together an obituary. I mean, a lot of families have no idea what to put in there, you know? And this is the time when they're least equipped emotionally and physically to try to deal with all these things. So it is truly an act of love to pull together as much of this information as possible. And I have three pillars of the course. It's preserve, design, and bestow. So in the preserve, we're gathering together the information, all the assets. Design, we're putting together what your wishes are for a funeral, etc. But also designing what I'll call a continuity plan for your spouse, your children, or your executor, so that, let's say you leave behind a spouse and you were the one that always paid the bills. How will they know how to pay the electric bill online? They won't. How will they know? Maybe they don't know who the furnace repairman is, or who you like to take the car to for repairs. Or maybe they don't know which orthodontist the kids have their braces with. You know what I mean? There are so many things that can be just left completely hanging if one spouse or the other passes first. And many times a spouse doesn't even know where their bank accounts are, or where their credit cards, well, they may know the credit cards because it's in their wallet, but many, many sad, sad stories about spouses going from institution to institution asking if they have an account there. So, and then the bestow part is about giving. And that can be giving that you do before you pass, in a personal experience with someone. It can be what's done through the will and what is done in gifts and experiences and messages after your passing, which is super, super cool. But also gathering your legacy stories, whether in writing or in video or in audio, so many ways, and traditions, and your ethical, what you stood for, all these wonderful things that you do want to pass down. This is all part of the bestow section.
Linda, that's a wonderful bit of information. And so do you have a workshop or a class or something coming up soon, or is that out in the future?
I have a 5-day challenge coming up here right after Labor Day.
Okay.
And after that, I will be beginning the next group in the 12-week course. So I would love to send information to anyone who would like to know more. They can just email me at, it's Linda@legacyofloveproject.com. That's Linda@legacyofloveproject.com. And if they just put the word digital in the subject line, I'll know that they were listening to this podcast, and just put their name in the body of the email. I'll go ahead and reply back with information on how to get involved with the challenge. And they'll learn a lot of great actionable steps that they can start putting into place, because we're all kind of being caught flat-footed with all the details these days. And this is one way of starting to take control.
Wow, this is great information. I don't know about some of the listeners, but I know for myself, I decided that I wanted to go paperless in my office because we just get so much mail. And so now if something would happen to me, you can't even wait for the mail to come to see, you know, what bill comes or what bank account or what bank I'm using, because all of that comes into my email. And if you can't get into my email, you can't even see where my accounts are. How scary is that? I mean, on one hand, I think, oh, I'm doing a good thing. You know, it's all in my email, but now it's locked away. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is a little scary. So yeah, Mason, your point was very well made. You've got a lot to cover. I've got a lot to cover. We all have a lot to cover, but isn't it nice that we get a little bit of a heads up before we need it instead of after we need it. And I did share a story with Linda before early on, and I want to share the story with our listeners. I have a girlfriend and client/girlfriend I had beauty salons for 5 years, and she was one of my clients at the salon. And I remember her coming in all excited. She had gone through a divorce, but then she'd finally met someone, and she was so excited about that. And she got her nails done, she got her hair done, and, you know, she goes, "I think he might be proposing." She said, "We've been dating for a couple, 3 years." And she said, "I think he might be proposing tonight." And she said, so, "I hope I'm not, you know, getting ahead of myself here, but," she said, "I want to get my hair done and my nails done just in case." And sure enough, he did. He proposed. They got married. It was a beautiful wedding. And he had this amazing house already. And he had been divorced for some time as well. And she had been divorced for some time. So they mutually decided that she would sell her house and move into his house because it was the nicer house of the two. And so that's what they did. And she was so happy and continued to be my client. And I continued to hear all the great stories about all the trips they were taking and all the fun things they were doing. And never occurred to me to have this conversation with her, of course. And so one day she came in totally devastated. He had passed. He had had a massive heart attack on his job on a Saturday and passed away before they got him to the hospital. And so now she's in limbo, and she doesn't know what to do because it was his house from before. So he had handled the taxes and the payments. And so she didn't even really know where the mortgage was, you know, because he took care of all that. Anyway, fast forward, he had not updated anything from his divorce, and his ex-wife got the house. Well, his current wife, my client slash girlfriend, she not only did not get the house, but she had already sold her house and took the proceeds of her house to rehab his house. And so she had spent the money from her house and put it into his house with new carpet and new wall coverings and new drapes and new furniture to make it their house. And so now she had no place to live, and her bank account was gone because she had spent her money on his house. And the ex got all of that because there was not even any separation that she got any of her stuff back. There was no proof what was there before she moved in and what was there after. So she literally had to start over with nothing. And those are the kinds of stories that just break your heart. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more that went on there. I'm sure there were some attorneys and there were some things that did get settled, but she's still losing the love of her life and losing her home all at the same time is just devastating. And the bank accounts were all in his name, which went to the ex-wife. So, and the life insurance still had the ex-wife as the beneficiary. So everything went to the ex-wife.
Hence, preserve. That's the yes. All the stuff we go through.
Yep, I get it.
Worth the price of admission right there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I want to just review one more time, and I've got it all written down here. So you're going to email Linda at linda@legacyofloveproject.com, and then put the word digital in the subject line, and then put your name in the email so that she knows how to get in touch with you. And she will send you information on her 5-day challenge. And then you'll also be in line to get information when that course starts again. So don't miss it. We all need it. Any last comments? Mason, how about you? Any last comments before we go?
I am sitting here just kind of stunned about how much I don't know and how ill-prepared I would be. Interesting thing on this topic, I have a friend of mine who is very on top of this. And he was telling me, you know, they've got a book, they've got everything set up like she's describing. But in addition, he says in the book, they've got a document thing where they've got like $50 or $100 in there. And he said the reason was when his father passed, there was nothing put together, and they didn't have money to order a pizza because they were just devastated. He's like, he put that in there, and his daughters know where everything's at. And he literally has the money in there. Order some pizza or something as you're dealing with this book. He said for him, that was a big deal when he had to go through his own, through his father's stuff down in Puerto Rico. But yeah, listening to this, never even imagine how unprepared I am. So yeah.
We all have some homework to do, don't we, Mason?
Oh, yes, definitely.
So again, our core, the meetup tonight is Fit as a Fiddle Plus. And I just want to say that having all of your affairs in order is huge, not only for your financial health, but for your mental health. And let me tell you, if you go through this and the stress level is up here, it's going to affect your physical health. And so it all works together. Everything comes together and pushes us in the right direction. And so you have to take care of your exercise and your food intake and how much sleep you're getting. But don't forget to put your finances on the list. Don't forget to put those final preparations on your list of things to do, because it's going to make a huge difference at the end of the day. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes this comes to light when we've had a loved one that's had an extended illness, or they've had an emergency accident of some sort, and we're already stretched emotionally and physically at that point. We're already stretched. And by the time you stretch yourself and you toss in, you know, the finances on top of that, and it really causes a problem in your overall well-being. So make sure you get that on your list and take care of yourself, and let's take care of each other. So Linda, thank you so much for this information. I really appreciated you being on tonight. Mason, thank you for joining in. I love that you're here. Mason is my co-host, co-mod, for How to Create a 5-Day Challenge. We had a great session earlier today, and the recording is over in the Academy. If anybody wants to go listen to the replay, it is over there. And the replay of this will also be in the Kathy Benner International Academy. So if you're listening in, you can just Google Kathy Benner International Academy and scroll down to Fit as a Fiddle Plus for the free meetups, and you'll find the replay. So thank you so much for being with us, and we will see everyone next time. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care.